You're listening to lgradio.online. I'm Leo Green. Welcome to In Conversation. In this, our last of three episodes, In Conversation with Tony Bennett, we revisit the conversation that took place between my late father, Benny, and Tony, which took place many, many years ago, in a much simpler time. In the last episode, the conversation had turned to songwriters. Tony had shared his love and admiration for the great Charlie Chaplin with us, but of course he wasn't the only songwriter that Tony loved.
You see, I've always known that you have to be a little different than whatever's happened in the past. And Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald did a magnificent thing where they made songbooks. Ella did quite a few, many of them, many of all the great composers, you know, of all the great, and Sinatra did the same. So I love that music too, but I had to come up with a new way of doing it. And the way I do it is I include these songs in repertoire, in concept albums, and the songs are there. But it's based on the concept rather than a salute to Harold Arlen or a salute to, you know, Ira Gershwin. I'll probably do one on Yip Harburg, though, because I just love his lyrics so much.
In 1967, Tony had recorded this, which Yip Harburg had written with Burton Lane in 1947 for the Broadway show Finian's Rainbow.
I looked at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the sky. It's that old devil moon deep in your eyes. You and your glance makes this romance too hard to handle. Stars in the night blazing their light, can't hold the candle to your razzle dazzle. You've got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. I wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon deep in your eyes. Just when I think I'm free as a dove, old devil moon deep in your eyes blinds me with love.
From Tony's 1967 recording of Yip Harburg and Burton Lane's classic. A couple of years previously, Tony had made history, recording with the great Count Basie.
That was the first one, first white person to sing with Count Basie. I was the first one that ever did it. One on Columbia, and there's one on, well, it was Roulette, but now it's out there with on many different labels. I can't believe how many labels, but that's the better one that was on the original Roulette album. We recorded all night from 12 o'clock at night till 6 in the morning and did the whole album in one day. And Ralph Sharon wrote most of the charts. One of the happiest times I ever had in my life. And Count Basie's playing, and it was just... And you know what he always said? They said, what would you like to be remembered? They did a documentary on Bravo in the United States. They said, what would you like to be remembered by? He says, well, all I ever tried to do was to be known as a nice guy. That was his answer. Isn't that great?
Here I go again. I hear the trumpets blow again. I'm all aglow again, taking a chance on love. Here I slide again, about to take the ride again. I'm starry-eyed again, taking a chance on love. Now I thought the cards were a frame-up, and I never would try. But now I'm taking the game up, and the ace of hearts is high. Things are mending now, I see a rainbow blending now. We'll have a happy ending now, we're taking a chance. I hear the trumpets blow again. And we're taking a time, about to take that ride again. Taking a time. Now I walk around with a horseshoe, and in clover I lie. Mr. Rabbit, of course, you better kiss that foot goodbye. I'm on the ball again, riding for a fall again. I'm gonna give my all again, taking a chance. I'm taking a chance.
Conversation then turned to another of Tony's musical heroes, whose songs he would record many of, the one, the only, Duke Ellington.
Oh God, he was, there's no one knew more about what was going on. He was my favorite. You know, he just, Louis Belson has a great description of Duke Ellington and Count Basie. He said, they were the two pillars of jazz, and he said, Basie was the earth. That was that philosophy, and Ellington is the sky, the universe. And I thought that's the best explanation I ever heard of the two giants, that all the jazz artists paraded through those two orchestras. For many years I was on tour with Basie. He and I became very close and just wonderful friends. And he's always, you know, when rock and roll hit and I had given the first awards to the Beatles and the Rolling Stones at Wembley Stadium, I came back to Basie in the States. I said, what do you think I should do? I said, this is immense. And the entertainment world, they're going to the big, huge stadiums now instead of nightclubs. And I said, what do you think I should do? He said, why change an apple? You know, he had such a great sense of humor with philosophy at the same time.
Missed the Saturday dance. Heard they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. They have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore. More at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on dates, might have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore.
That's one of Tony Bennett's many recordings of Duke Ellington songs. With a career as stellar and long-lasting as Tony's, it's inevitable that he would cover pretty much all of the great writers of the Great American Songbook, as well as having his own recollections of all these extraordinary writers, including Irving Berlin.
That was genius, and no one can explain it. He couldn't read music, he just felt it, but he knew what the audience wanted to say to one another. And it was ingenious. I mean, he was ingenious about how he went about his popular music. You know, one time there was a big festival of composers. My favorite type show that I ever saw. I've always known that these songwriters, they weren't competent musicians, but they knew how to write songs. So whenever they perform on stage at some big benefit performance, and you have all of them together. A few of them, like Johnny Green, knew how to play the piano, but a lot of them, they would just hit a couple of notes here and there. But it was that amateur quality that makes the audience adore them. They're not slick. He got me, and he was frightened backstage. He said, I can't follow Jimmy Van Heusen and Sammy Kahn and Harold Arlen and Johnny Green. He said, you've got to stay up. Now, that night, I was doing a couple of benefits in one night, you know, two or three. I said, I can't. I have to go to this other benefit. He said, you've got to stay here. I cannot follow these great composers. He said, please stay here and just do, the more I see you at the end of the show, just to help me out. So I had to wait around an hour backstage. I was waiting. All these other performers were on, and he was pacing up and down nervously. He goes out on the stage. With one finger, he starts hitting, "This isn't sometimes, this is always," you know, big applause, you know. "I walk along the street of sorrow," you know. And now the place starts cheering him. The third song, "You'll never know just how much I love you," right? Now there's standing ovations, four standing ovations for the rest of the songs. He comes off stage, he says, "I don't need you." Is that unbelievable?
Well, baby, what I couldn't do with plenty of money and you, in spite of the worry that money brings, just a little filthy lucre buys a lot of things. And I could take you to places that you would like to go, but outside of that I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life would be sunny with plenty of money and you.
And another time I did, "I Only Have Eyes for You." So I had him come over to the Beverly Hills Hotel and listen to the recording. And I said, "What do you think?" He said, "You're smoking too much." But he lived in Hollywood, but he had an old Chevy. And he would never go to one of these parties, you know, these Hollywood parties. He never did anything like that. Outside of Irving Berlin, he was a five-star composer in ASCAP. He wrote got more commissions than almost anybody. He wrote one hit after another. Well, thank God for people like that.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for
you know. Harold Arlen had kind of that, he, as great as he was, he gave everybody their signature songs, you know, "Stormy Weather" for Lena Horne, and "That Old Black Magic" for Billy Daniels, and Sinatra's "One for My Baby," even though Fred Astaire introduced it, you know, "Paper Moon" for Nat King Cole. And yet, the public, he wrote "The Wizard of Oz." The public still doesn't realize how wonderful Harold Arlen was. What a great, great man he was. You see, I think Ira Gershwin and Harold Arlen were very close. We were all close. But I thought Harold Arlen and Ira Gershwin were exceptionally humble. And they would always say, "George is the one." They would just keep saying, "George is the guy. George is the guy." Beautiful people, you know.
As we draw to the end of this conversation with Tony Bennett, let's just remind ourselves what happens when the collective brilliance of Harold Arlen, George Gershwin, and Tony Bennett combine.
The night is bitter. The stars have lost their glitter. The winds grow colder. And suddenly you're older. And all because of the man that got away. No more his eager call. The writing's on the wall. The dreams you've dreamed have all gone astray. The man that won you has run off and undone you. That great beginning has seen the final inning. I don't know what happened. It's all a crazy game. No more that all-time thrill. 'cause you've been through the mill and never a new love will be the same. Good riddance, goodbye. Every trick of his you're on to, but fools will be fools, and where's he gone to? The road gets rougher, it's lonelier and tougher, with hope you burn up. Tomorrow he may turn up. There's just no let up. The livelong night and day, ever since this world began, there is nothing sadder than a one-man woman looking for the man that got away. The man.
Singing and painting is, it's, I always describe it as, it's not that I wanted to do it. I didn't have an ambition to do it. I had to do it. And it's funny, here I am, and I still feel that same soft wind behind me that says, go to it, go for it, you know, go for it. And it's never stopped. I've never been bored with it. Even if we have a very rough day on the road or something, I'll just say, well, let's get some rest and we'll try again tomorrow.
Life full of fun seems to be the ideal. The good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel.
I last saw Mr. Bennett on his most recent trip to the UK, and he remains as the last original standing in the great saloon bar of the Great American Songbook, the epitome of the singer's singer. I highly recommend to you all of the 57 studio albums he's recorded. Listening to any of those recordings, and it just becomes abundantly clear why Frank Sinatra declared him the best singer in the business. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you.
It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss the good life goodbye.
You're listening to lgradio.online. This has been In Conversation. Please do visit our website, lgradio.online, for all our show info. Thanks for listening.